abstinence, Daniel. Because I questioned the venue, and I even asked the people on the way, where is this venue? And they couldn't explain to me. But then the Uncle Kosana came along, and then we walked to this venue together. And I think the same happened to Mr. Luenge, Honorable Luenge, because we were waiting on him, because he's first on our program. So I would like to welcome you this morning to this meeting. On the agenda, we're going to speak a report on petition on withdrawal of subsidies for Eastern Cape Independent Schools, and then we are going to our visit. But I think before we start the meeting, I owe the honourable members not an apology, but a short explanation. We were expecting Uma Lucy here today, because Uma Lucy indicated to the chairperson that they would like to meet with us before they announce the adjustments tomorrow to the press. The decision was that we would have had a closed meeting. We made application to the Chair of Chairs regarding this matter, and the response we received was that when it comes to the speakership, our presiding officers, they prefer us to have open meetings and not closed meetings. With the result, I had to speak to Uma Lucy, and the meeting was called off. Reason given, Uma Lucy was taken to court. so as to open, you know, open or give the adjustments made. And their first responsibility, according to the court case, was Media 24. And if we had an open meeting, there would have been problems with that. So therefore, we're not meeting Uma Lucy this morning. And I don't think I'm going to open this matter to discussion, because we really couldn't expose, you know, Uma Lucy to a meeting like this with media sitting around. And the court said that to only open it first to Media 24. But I'll go to the business of the morning, and we're going to start with a petition on the withdrawal of subsidies to 6 Eastern Cape schools. I think our department is here. Before you introduce yourself, the department is here. I think you have to listen to the petition and give us guidance, because I think there's certain criteria when it comes to the funding of independent schools. There are conditions for eligibility to the subsidies, and then other considerations that do take place. So I'd like the department to listen carefully to us. Thank you.
Just on a procedural matter, if I may. May I raise a procedural matter?
Yes, but what is the procedural matter that you'd like to raise? And then I'll make a decision on that. Thank you.
Well, the procedural matter is simply to confirm that Uma Lucy has an obligation to nevertheless brief us.
Let me rather go into that with a speakership. Because even if they have, like, they should brief us. Remember, the case is sub judice at the moment. The case is sub judice. But I'll speak to the speakership on it and then come with a ruling to the next meeting. Thank you. And I don't think just minutes that I'll speak to the speaker. Do not speak there about procedural matters, please. Thank you. Let us introduce ourselves that everyone knows who they're speaking to. I am the chairperson of this committee, and I am Hope Martha. Honourable Sheena, you can introduce yourself.
Morning, everybody. I'm Nomalinga Lodina, the member of the committee.
My name is Chris Fumoni, member of the committee.
My name is Alfred Pontane, a member of this committee representing the IFP and coming from the kingdom.
Just switch off your next. I want to comment on that one. I would like to comment on that one, but I'll keep my comment for after the meeting. I'll keep it for after the meeting. The way you introduced yourself. Mshana?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Call me Boni from Limpopo. On this committee, basic education. Thank you.
My name is James James Kosana JJ from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Is it on? My name is Ntopile Khanyao. I'm also a member of the committee, and I'm from Limpopo.
Good morning, I'm Ellen. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
My name is Wamba James, and I'm a member of this committee.
My name is Tammy, I'm from PMG.
I'm Kelly Mohebi from Education.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lepus from the Department of Basic Education.
Ralph Mel, Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm Perry Pariachi, Acting DDG for Planning Basic Education. I'd like to table an apology for the Director General.
Morning, honorable members and officials from the department. I'm Zukile Luyenge. I'm a member of parliament, originally from the Eastern Cape. I'm here as a constituency management chairperson for the area of Mthatha. Thank you.
I'm Riwan Maada, researcher for the committee.
My name is Monkey Henda from Equal Education.
I'm Mavalu Gari from Parliamentary Communication Services.
I'd like to apologize for that noise, but it is being sorted out. This morning we have the Honorable Luenge in our meeting, and he's going to speak to this petition that came to us in March 2010. And as the Honorable Luenge said, he's from the Eastern Cape. I'd like you to speak to this petition. Have everyone got a petition in the end? The one on the independent schools. Thank you. On for your language. Yes.
I just, as a matter of procedure, just want to check.
I'm not taking no longer messages out. I'm no longer taking anything when it comes to procedure now, because you came in late and explained what we're going to do.
Oh, you did explain. Thank you. Chairperson, then it's about.
Honorable Smile, you came in late.
My apology, Chair.
No, I'm not servicing. I'm not going to listen to you. We are starting this meeting. Thank you.
No, in terms of the
Smile?
Petition. Yeah, Chairperson, we would like to move. And we are aware that we may be having different mandates. Some mandates need to make sure that we don't move. We want to move, and Chairperson, you'll be allowed to chair this. Thank you.
Mr. Wenge? Just one second. You're trying to be funny, Honorable Smiles, eh? I think we'll sort each other out after the meeting. Thank you. Should I continue?
No. So, my surname is Smiles, by the way.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and staff from the department. Firstly and foremost, I would like to congratulate you, Chairperson, on your new appointment, and also appreciate the promptness on the part of the portfolio committee in relation to the processing of this petition. I will briefly speak to the issues, honorable members and staff, Chairperson, to say the highlight being the constitutional obligation on the part of the department to implement policies as prescribed, precisely on the aspect that relates to the funding of independent schools. The petition beforehand is coming from the independent schools and an association of independent schools located in the Mthatha district, where a cross-cutting aspect is around the selective treatment by the Department of Education in the province of the Eastern Cape. You will find that the petitioners are the six independent schools. When there are far more than that number of independent schools in the Eastern Cape, but because of the manner in which these particular schools feel that they are being isolated for a number of reasons that they have spoken to in the document that I will hand over to you now, Chairperson, that their expectation was to be funded in accordance with the policy 100% as stipulated in the policy. But there is a gentleman's agreement, because that might not be a policy on the part of the Eastern Cape, that says you fund private schools for 60%. And even not having met that arrangement, to say we will, because of maybe financial problems that are experienced in the province, that decision was taken at whatever level. But even that 60% agreement was never ever implemented in all private schools. Instead, a selective number of them on the basis of their performance, to say those that are performing better will get the 60%, those that are not performing, they won't get any funding. So the affected schools are the ones that have petitioned the department. I'm failing to understand, Chairperson, because I've communicated this with the former MEC for education in the Eastern Cape, as well as the chairperson of the portfolio committee responsible for education, and ultimately the current minister of basic education nationally in relation to this, where we agreed that the most appropriate channel will be to take this to Parliament, so that it is not regarded as if the department is maybe interfering with the governments of the department in the Eastern Cape. I'm here in front of you, Chairperson, to say that for the past 3 years, these schools have not been getting their subsidies. And a number of meetings have been held by both the department as well as this association. I had a meeting with the MEC in relation to this, and the MEC was very explicit to say it is improper for the department to go against the national policy, and that you allow the situation whereby independent schools are actually assisting those students that are not able to be assisted by public schools because they failed their grade 12 and they cannot be readmitted, and then they opt for the private schools. And when you get into the private schools are not getting any assistance from government, and that is contrary to the policy. And when you gauge, when you measure their performance, you bring along the national norms as against the national funding policy, which is actually found by them as a breach of the policy by the department in the Eastern Cape. And I will submit further information in relation to this, which is detailing exactly the sequence of events that the association, as well as my constituents office and the department at all levels in the province, have actually set and discussed issues around this, but up to no implementation of any of such resolutions. I will end there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Uwenge. The information is a bit wide, it's broad, and I think there are some details that we really need. Because at the beginning of the meeting, the department had to speak to the funding criteria, conditions for eligibility, because you spoke about if a school don't get 60%, but I think it's if a school don't get 50%. I would like the meeting to guide me. Who would like to guide me on this matter?
Yeah, Chairperson, I hope I'll be able to do that. But in attempting to do that, I think if those are dealing with issues from the Act, and you do not have to say maybe, because we remember the 60% issue, in all fairness, we should have been told to bring the Act with us, so that we refer to the Act. We don't come up with a decision that's against the Act. So that I wonder if there is a way that we can, I don't know whether to get another day so that we go through the Act, or if it's possible to adjourn for some few minutes to get the Act, so that we talk to the Act per se. Because the 60% issue, some of us may remember if we have that background from education, but we need to be very much correct when we deal with private schools. Because my understanding is that when you go private, when you want to be independent, you want to take care of yourself. And the money, the funds that are paid in these independent schools, most of them are very high. So that you need to be able to take care of yourself. Maybe there is something that informed the Eastern Cape Department, but we need to have the Act. I would urge that whatever we decide here, we need to base our decision on what the Act is. Thank you, then. Unless somebody says, I know for a fact, I can quote it without looking, then we can continue. I thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Honorable James first, and then Honorable Skosana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to say for the record that that you've set a precedent in allowing this issue to be discussed here.
I think you have to withdraw it because this came from me, from the petition unit. It came from the petition at our table, and it came from the petitioning unit. Thank you. You may continue.
That's fine. An issue like this was rejected twice before.
Uncle James, get your facts correct, because this went through the parliamentary process. I didn't creep into this meeting like you people did the last time. Thank you.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
It happened twice.
No, in the past, before you became chair, it also happened. So, but I just wanted to say for the record that a precedent has been set. My response is that that this is a provincial matter, and that this committee has oversight over the national department, not over provinces. And so I think that our deliberations here would have to look at the extent to which what is presented here falls within our actual mandate in terms of the law and in terms of our mandate. So I'm unsure about whether there's a place here. I think it's an issue that should be referred to the national department.
Thank you. The next, please. It was Kosana, and then Ambojina, and then Da, and then Yes, and then Smile. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, as I am listening, we've got an issue which has been processed politically, and today is here before us. And we have called the department and the presenter of the document, who is my Honorable Dr. Luyanga. And Dr. Luyanga has already presented before us. Now came questions about the presentation, whether it is relevant to be here or not. But according to, the way I think about this matter, it has been processed accordingly. If it reaches the Speaker's office and the Speaker's office get through the document and transfer it to the, send it to us as a committee, cannot reject it and say let it go to the Department of Education. But for that right to call the department to come before us and clarify this matter, because it's from the structure at the grassroots level and they are talking about processes that they have undergone in the province. Now it's better to allow the department to interact with us to hear a reality on the matter, because it was properly processed. And after the presentation of the department, it's when we can wait whether this document should be resolved here or it must go back to the department and deal with it so that we can give a response to this committee. That's the manner in which I understand this matter, Chairperson. And also, Chairperson, I'm requesting maybe the presenter to finish us with detailed information of this document, because we have got a summary of one page that speaks about the schools, and also the very same summary, there are issues that emanate under the schools. In fact, under the school, that paragraph which is under the names of schools, there are issues that emanate, like discrimination in the admission and the rejected, failed learners and so on, of which if we can get that detailed document which will supplement this, then we'll be having a clue of what should we say on this document for now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. I'm just too fair. if I missed something because I came, I think, 5 minutes late. Now, there's one piece of legislation that governs education in South Africa, that is South African Schools Act. I'm not too sure whether what we're doing here is provided for in that act. If not, anything which is not clear in law or is not provided for is governed by a precedent. Now, in this case, as my colleague said, we've got no precedent. So I'm not too sure. I don't have my South African Schools Act here with me, but the department may guide us on that one, whether or not schools can petition the speaker in the first place. I'm not too sure. Because my mind, I'm thinking of the HOD who must be petitioned by schools, and I'm thinking of the Southcombe Schools Act deals with that person and the MEC. So I'm not too sure how this thing will be handled. Can the department assist us? Because we don't want to err in that instance. In the absence of a president.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Gina.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Maybe, Chairperson, before I get into what we are discussing about, it is good sometimes to set things clearly as they should be. Chairperson, is for the first time we get such a thing in this committee. We have never rejected such a matter that has come in this way. So let us not mislead each other. It has never happened. It's for the first time that is happening. So let us not leave a picture here as if there was something of this sort that has ever happened in this committee. We've been in this committee ever since, but it has never happened. So let us not compare two things that are not the same. Secondly, Chairperson, maybe before we even go give a chance to the department, I think it would be proper for us to give Honorable Luyenga again the chance to clarify some of the things here, because firstly, we talk of the conditions when we talk of the independent schools. Have these schools met the conditions that were needed? Because I think as he is here, he knows those conditions. What are the things that they had to come up with so that these schools can meet those conditions for them to be given the subsidy that they want? Because when we talk of the Schools Act, SASSA, yes, it does provide for this. We do have acts that provide and even give the HOD, or is it the minister, the right to give and to take the subsidy. Well, if ever in his or her discretion they say that these schools does not meet the conditions that have been given. So for us to know, for us even for the department to respond, I think Honorable Yenge still need to go deeper. Tell us the status of these schools. What is it before it was withdrawn, this funding? What was given to them? Were they given any chance? Because we know in the 30 days that needs to be given for them to do, for the funding to be withdrawn. So for me now, I don't have that clear picture what is happening with these schools. If ever we can get that clarity, I think by then we can all have a chance to interact with the department. I think it will be clear for us to get into the thank you, Chair.
On whom is that?
Thanks, Chairperson. I want to check some few things with Honorable Luyenga. Maybe part of what the department will respond to will also it will also be able to enlighten me if these guarantees could be provided. Because I'm wanting to check, I hear that you said that you have interacted with the current MEC and the previous MEC, and to an extent, I'm not sure that you said that you're not the portfolio committee as well in the MEC. But I was wondering to ask, to what level is this discussion? Is the discussion around this issue in the province? That is the cabinet aware? What is it doing about it? if the chairperson of the portfolio committee and the portfolio committee that it will come are aware of this, what are the issues that that may be making this issue not to be given the priority it deserves, and if there could be issues that are tangible and to why it can't get the attention it requires. What are the schools? Because I know that I don't know with independent schools. I only know with public schools that they will have clusters in terms of issues. And I know that issues of this nature would form part of engagement and discussion from a different point of view, and then they could be able to then be elevated to a provincial and maybe up to this point. And what I learned the problem is where the issue is being discussed currently, but I think it interests me, and I would want to know whether the provincial, our provincial counterparts and the authorities in the province are also they are also engaged with this issue, and what is the state of the engagement regarding this matter. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. That's Honourable Smiles last and second last, and now I'll give it back to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I do have a question which I wanted to ask right at the beginning, and that is with regard to the role of the provincial legislature. Procedurally, I know that when you are not happy with the department, then you go with your petition to the speaker in the province. And that's what I wanted to ask in the first place, whether in the spirit of cooperative governance and working relationships between national and the legislature, whether that route was followed. If not, then really I would agree to what my colleague has said. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. Just to add a little something, it's a clarity-seeking question from the Honourable. Because I want to check the pressure that is put to principals of public schools, you see, it's very specific. Not pressure put to schools to perform, but to such that if the speaker can prove this, because I'm checking the pressure that's put specifically on principals of private schools to perform, and we need clarity, because I think I'm meeting this for the first time.
I've been
teaching for 35 years. Thank you.
I think I'll ask Mr. Luenge just to answer, and then I'll give it over to the department, because there are laws in place. And then what I would like to say when it comes to petitioning, I'm just waiting on the Constitution. You'll find it under Section 100. So I'm just waiting for someone to bring the constitution, that we can check it, because I know you can petition according to the constitution. Thank you. Mr. Lende.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me not maybe add anything in relation to the constitutional imperative around this, as you have actually alluded to, because correctly so, Section 100 of the constitution allows national departments to intervene in provincial departments, even where a department is not operating in the manner that it is supposed. That is why a takeover by a national department is actually done. It is around that all the provincial departments, in terms of the constitution, are delegated functions. They are delegated functions so as to coordinate and implement the national policy. It is just straightforward and explicit like that.
Can you just continue with the petition?
Let's not
debate it. Let us wait on the constitution when it comes.
But on just that one.
Because the thing is, let us just leave it, let us listen. Then I'll come back to you.
The different arm of...
I'll come back to you. Thank you.
Yes. In relation to the questions that were posed by Honourable Nta, I would respond by saying I actually took the matter first to the Portfolio Committee Chairperson, and after the Chairperson actually tried to get information from the department, suggested that I directly take the matter to the MEC, the then MEC Kwase, which I did. And it is that meeting was actually prompted by our intervention as well to the Premier, because I also wrote to the Premier to say there is this issue. So even before the Premier, because the Premier indicated that I will have to summon the MEC for Education, because he is the one who will be able to respond to this. Maybe he will come with the SG of the department. Unfortunately, I had already had a meeting with the MEC, and I indicated to the Premier that I'm not undermining the role of the MEC around this, but what I've discovered on my own is the undermining of the MEC by the officials, because the official who was directly involved, who was directly responsible for this particular program, indicated in front of the MEC to say, yes, we will give a listening ear to these independent schools, but we cannot just agree to say the notion that is coming from the MEC to say that we can't fund 60% as against the national law, because there is nothing that is coming from national. That's what the MEC was saying. There is nothing that is coming from national that allows us to fund by 60%, with the understanding that says, yes, the schools, Honorable Mda, actually met all the conditions and requirements to be accredited that status of being institutions of learning, because they've got operating licenses from the department. And the issue around as to their performance should be based, I mean, their funding should be based on their performance. That was the issue that the schools together with the department, because the MEC was also sharing the same sentiments, to say, how do you expect a person to perform if you don't provide resources? Yes, these people have got their own funds maybe to stand up, but we have a constitutional obligation that says once that they are in our database as private schools, we have a responsibility to fund them accordingly. So the role of the provincial legislature, Honorable Smiles, as actually represented by the portfolio committee chairperson, to say this matter is seemingly an administrative one in the beginning, but when it was not addressed and there were toys by the students and parents that actually went to my office to say we have our kids who were rejected by the public schools, and we actually took them to these independent schools because we know it for a fact that there is something that they get from government, and we thought government was doing that in order to cater for us because we are unable to take these kids out of the province. So it was around the aspect that was saying there are also selective mechanisms that was actually used by the department, because there is one school in Mthatha in the name of Kanyisa, one of them that would know. Kanyisa is funded 100%. Kanyisa is not funded but 60%. So it will be maybe on the basis that it is performing well. So from the very word go, they got money from the department. So their start was not actually equal to other. The playing ground was not leveled for other private schools to maybe perform like Kanyisa. And it is in Kanyisa is performing. And even now, when other schools are getting around 300,000, Kanyisa is getting more than 4 million a year. I don't want to speculate, honorable members here in Chairperson, to say the allegations that are around, to say certain officials in the department have got a slice in the ownership of that particular school, that is Kanyisa. So it is not just a procedural matter, honorable Smiles, that these private schools
are actually treated in a particular fashion, but it has got some elements of corruption and syndicates that involve members or officials of the department in the province. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Renge. I'm not going to ask if there are any follow-ups, but I think what will be important is, you know, for the department to give us a reply, and then we can decide what we're going to do. Thank you. The Deputy DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I think we can respond by providing clarity with regard to the issues of the statutes that govern the funding of independent schools. And we're in the hands of the House in that, in the time that we were informed from Friday, we have looked into this matter and we can provide details of each of the schools in terms of the petition, and all of it is not applicable across the board. With regard to the Section 100, that is not applicable in this instance because the President and the Deputy President has not made any declaration in that regard. However, the Minister of Basic Education and the Department of Basic Education, in terms of NEPA and so forth, do have a role to monitor and to ensure there's compliance to regulations and policy that is there. I think my colleague, Advocate Lucas, and Mr. Muir will give details in terms of the regulations and the criteria that apply to independent schools, which is not the same for public schools. And if the chair would allow, then we could also give you information about the six schools.
Thank you, Chairperson. As my colleague indicated correctly, the minister does have oversight function in terms of NEPA to monitor schools and to ensure that independent schools comply with the regulations, and more particularly in terms of the norms and standards for school funding, for the funding for providing subsidies to independent schools. Now, if you look at the norms and standards in terms of paragraph 176 of the amended norms and standards, set out the conditions of eligibility for independent schools to be considered for a subsidy. And there's a host of incidences that of factors that an independent school needs to comply with in order to be eligible for a subsidy. And more particularly, paragraph 177 set out what a public independent school must comply with in order also to receive a subsidy. And I will read that particular paragraph, because paragraph 177 must be read in conjunction with 176. And if I can maybe just go over the factors in paragraph 176. Firstly, an independent school may be considered for a subsidy if it is registered by the Provincial Education Department, has made an application to the Provincial Education Department in a prescribed manner, and has been operational for one full school year, and is a registered non-profit organization in terms of the Non-Profit Organizations Act, is managed successfully according to a management checklist determined by the Provincial Education Department as described in paragraph 179, and agrees to unannounced inspection visits by officials of the Provincial Education Department or person duly authorized by the Provincial Education Department, and has not been established in direct competition with a nearby uncrowded public school of equivalent quality. Now, those are the conditions of eligibility. Then, in addition, paragraph 177 further adds that in addition to the conditions in the previous paragraph, The following conditions apply to the secondary school phase. A secondary school phase may be considered for subsidy if its final grade 12 pass rate is 50% or more of full-time candidates writing the examination in the prior year. And B, not more than 20% of grade 11 learners are repeaters who took grade 11 in the same school during the previous year. And C, not more than 20% of grade 12 learners are repeaters who took grade 12 in the same school during the previous year. And D, it does not engage in practices that are calculated to artificially increase the school's grade 12 pass rate. So these are the conditions. Then furthermore, in terms of the South African Schools Act, it is the responsibility of the head of department in terms of Section 48. The head of department may not terminate or reduce a subsidy under subsection 3. There are certain procedural requirements that need to be followed. But let me first go to paragraph 3. If a condition subject to which a subsidy was granted has been complied with, the head of department may terminate or reduce the subsidy from a date determined by him or her. The head of department may not terminate or reduce the subsidy under subsection 3 unless the owner of such independent school has been furnished with a notice of intention to terminate or reduce the subsidy and the reasons therefore. Such owner has been granted an opportunity to make written representations as to why the subsidy should not be terminated or reduced, and any such representations received have been duly considered. And then fifth, the owner can then appeal to the MEC. In terms of subsection 5, the owner of an independent school may appeal to the member of the executive council against the termination or reduction of a subsidy to such independent school. Now, the information that we received, and my colleague can speak further on that, is that these particular schools did not comply with the eligibility requirements in terms of paragraph 177 of the norms and standards, in that the pass rate was under 50% for the grade 12. The grade 12 pass rate was under 50%. I think it's also important that in terms of the constitution, there's a constitutional requirement that the standards in independent schools need to be comparable to public schools. It can't be lower than public schools. And furthermore, also, the granting of subsidies is not an absolute right to schools. It's in the discretion of the department, taking into account the norms and standards and taking into account the requirements as set out in the legislation. But perhaps my colleague can just speak further on each of the individual schools.
I think what will be important, thank you, I'll allow you.
I just want to indicate that section paragraph 177A, which referred to the grade 12 pass rate as 50%, mm-hmm. has subsequently been amended to refer to the provincial average mm-hmm. pass rate. And in the cases of these schools in the Eastern Cape for 2009, the pass rate was 51%, which was marginally above the 50%, so it was didn't really make much difference. Obviously, in this, for schools applying in the new financial year, the pass rate has gone up to about 57%, and that makes a material difference.
Thanks for that. What I think is going to be important, we'll listen to the department, but we'd like to have all these things in writing. Yes? On board?
Chairperson, with due respect, the Department of Education, in all fairness, should, unless if I'm mistaken, have finished us with education law. Because it's like we need to have that. Mm-hmm. Because it's updated and stuff. You refer to 7 years that you are not very relevant. But if the Department of Education would like us to look into this matter at the same power with them, we definitely need copies of the education law as members of the Portfolio Committee on Education, so that we don't come and use common sense or something that happened some 20 years back. We refer to it. Because it's like we have to listen to something that they are reading. We don't even have it. And how do you come and assist on something that people refer on something written in black and white? We don't have it. Can we request that we get those copies? And then maybe until then, we say we cannot do justice to this particular case. Thank you.
So I'm going to continue. Yes?
If I heard the department correctly, in one of the procedures, it says schools whose subsidies have been withdrawn or reduced must petition the MSA. Did I hear that correctly? Now, these are the schools whose subsidies have been withdrawn. What is the status now?
Don't just answer that question, please. Honorable Osana.
Yeah, Chairperson, I should think it's proper for us to get the whole information about this matter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't debate a matter in which you don't have the full information about it, especially on the part of the department. When they talk about this act, you must have a performance history of those particular schools. And say, hey, this year this school performed like this and this, and this year it performed like this. The subsidy is withdrawn, which means it can be this condition. But you must get all the information about this matter.
Honorable Walmart, James Walmart.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that the obligation rests with members of parliament to understand the law. It's not the function of a department to provide us with either the law or education about the law. I find that comment really odd.
I would like the department to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My colleague Ralph Mill will give us the input. Most of this we gathered yesterday. Also, we were in the dark as to what we actually have to provide to the committee, but I think we will provide this in a detailed report.
I'm just going to refer to the level of subsidy that was referred to, the 60%, and let me just put that into context as well. In terms of the policy, the funding policy, the level of subsidy for an independent school is based on its school fees that it charges. And it should not, in fact, be based on performance. So I'm not sure in the case of Eastern Cape, as the Honourable Member have referred to, that implies that the fee levels or the funding level has been based on performance. And in terms of the 60%, what the funding policy basically says is that in each province they have to work out what is the average they're spending on a public school. And then for an independent school, the highest level of subsidy it can receive is 60% of a public school's funding. Okay? So independent schools won't be financed at the same level of public schools, which is probably understandable. So I'm not sure the 60% that the Honourable Member is referring to, and 100%, maybe he should give us more details on that. That's just in terms of the funding policy. Now, in terms of the funding levels, the different schools, depending on the school fees, will be receiving, the higher the fees are, they will be receiving a lower amount of subsidy. Okay. Okay, in terms of the six schools, just get the list of the schools. Maybe I should start with the St. Jude Private School. We have been informed by the Eastern Cape Provincial Department that they have in fact received funding for that specific year. that's 2010-11. Then in response to or from documentation received from the province, Christ the King International School, they have received notification that of the withdrawal of the subsidy, and it was based that on the fact that performance trends reflect that the school does not provide equity in educational achievement. And then it is listed. 2005, also it was 23.3%. 2006, 25%. 2007, 33.3%. 2008, 10.7%. And 2009, 15.6%. And for 2010, it was 19.3%. So, in terms of that, they obviously did not comply for the number of years to the criteria of at least being at the provincial average. Science College International. I'm just going to go. The results 2006 26%, 2007 43%, 2008 16%, 2009 22%, and last year 2010 31%. So in terms of that, the notice also reflected that, and that was the basis of the withdrawal of the subsidy. St. Martin's. Now, I only have a record here of the 2009, which was 26%. And for last year, it was 30.9%. So it's clearly also an underperforming school. Just in terms of St. Martin's, maybe they have received what the subsidy for independent schools are given for what we call the GET phase, that is for grade 1 up to grade 7, 9, and then for the FET phase. So they have in fact received subsidy for the GET phase for 2009. But the subsidy for the FET phase has been withdrawn. King's College Commercial, 2008 43.6%, 2009 26.7%, and last year 50.5%. 2008 43.6%, 2009 26.7%, and 2010 50.5%. So the Umtata College 2008 43.7%, 2009 44.4%, and this year 59.4%. And they are in the process of completing the application for the subsidy. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think in the case of Amtata, there would be no reason for that school to not qualify for the subsidy if all the other criteria is still met. They would have met this criteria as a result of the 2010 results. The other is that the regulations do indicate that the HOD does have the powers to deviate if in the motivation that's made by the school that there are other reasons that could be taken into account, which may show that a school has been progressing to a level where, but it's not at the provincial average. So that's also a possibility where the HOD, even before you petition the MEC, could consider in deviating from granting the subsidy. And I think we do have the letters that the MEC Kwaza had signed indicating that four of these schools, basically there was termination in 2010 while he was in office. All these we will make available to the Secretariat to make available to the Honourable Members.
Just Richard Kilmack, I'd like to thank you for that report. I think what's going to be important now is for us as a committee to get everything that you gave to us now, that we ourselves can go through it, just through our report, with everything you gave, the figures, etc. And then we as a committee can make a decision on it. You know, discuss it and make a decision. Because I think without the act as you related it to us, you know, the norms and standards of funding, the criteria, eligibility, we won't be able to make a decision at all. Then at the same time, I would like to ask our researcher just to get things together for us, you know, on taking even the concert advisor part of the acts out that we could see, and even, you know, speak to us on the norms and standards of funding. But I'd like to make a ruling on the next time when we receive such a petition, because according to Section 56 of the Constitution, they speak there when it comes to the powers and functions of National Parliament, that no people on the ground can petition Parliament. When we receive such a report, I think this report has to go to the department first, because I know in the legislature, when such a report is received, it goes to the department, and the department works on everything. And then the department sends it back to the chairperson, and the chairperson will go through it to check, you know, what response could you give. But if the matter is so complicated, then it comes to the committee. And Mr. Luenga, Honorable Luenga, I would like to thank you, ne? And then we'll come with a reply to you. I think let us rather leave it and close the matter, and then we'll call you in again if we need you. We'll definitely call you in if we need you. You know?
I am not a legal representative of the petitioners. I'm just a living resource that says take this to Parliament. I don't have all the details.
Yeah.
I don't understand fully well the manner in which the petitioners wanted this matter to be actually heard. So, because you also need to have the other side of the story, because there are issues that were raised by the petitioners. Then I said, I am not the person that must receive all what you are saying. I'll take this matter to Parliament. Parliament will find a way of getting the view of the department. So I don't think I am the person who must sit here and be grilled on the performance of private schools. I don't think that will be fair, Chair. At least here I'm not even a guru of education and then I don't have any interest around this, but I was doing my constituency work to ensure that the communities access the opportunities that exist in government, including for them to maybe relay issues that they are not happy about, not for me to stand on their behalf.
I think we accepted it in that spirit, that you are just the messenger, and we're not going to shoot you down as a messenger, because I did put down here on this fact, perhaps, you know, we could get, you know, I don't know how we're going to do it to get the schools in, but it's for the committee to decide, because it's a very expensive story. I would like to close the meeting now, and Mr. Luenga, you may leave. All right.
No.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask the WIP to give a ruling on this. Or if there are other members that would like to speak first, you may speak and then we'll just close the subject after the WIP spoke. Yes, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's good that we've got an opportunity to interact with things like this, because that's why we have portfolio committees. But I would, in all fairness, request that we make sure that the Department of Education, not necessarily from Eastern Cape, but nationally, provide this committee with, like I'm saying, they always amend the laws. You can't depend on the law that we need the whole education law. We can't be dealing with education law the whole year and we listen to people reading it for us. And we can't be told to know it if we don't have the documentation. So I request that we get those as a matter of urgency and we'll be able to move forward. Thank you. Based on the Act. Thank you.
Honourable Skosana and then Honourable Member. And then Gina last. Honourable Gina.
No problem. No, thank you, Chair, for bringing that. I think what was confusing, in fact, is this big legal word, petition, because it has got legal connotation, implications. But it's simply the matter that has been brought by one of the members doing his constituency work. Same as what was happening when Smiles was bringing this matter here. I think it's the same. Or the processes. Because what I'm saying,
just
Chair.
Before you speak further, what happened?
What
happened? When it came to Honourable Smiles, we brought it directly to the meeting. But this went through the processes according to Section 56. It went into Parliament. And it didn't go to the speakership, but it went to the committee, constitutional something. What was it called, that committee? Constitutional. I don't know. There's a committee in Parliament where you can take petitions to, and you can take amendments to acts or amendments to anything in Parliament. And it went through that constitutional committee, and then the constitutional committee referred it to us. You know, through the speaker. Now you can continue.
In other words, Chair, what I'm saying. We should have advised the honorable member there. We should not have, when I look back now, we should not have rejected that. We should advise him to go the same route so that we discuss what he brought to this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. But unfortunately, even the presenter today was not advised by the committee. I think I must just get in there. Yeah, he wasn't. But Chairperson, what I will propose is, we have heard what was there in the petition. We have discussed it. Can we say, Chairperson? Can we conclude as to say, our research, our content advisor for the committee will gather all the information that was presented to us today, presented even by the Department of Education. Then we say next week in the meeting we'll make it a very short item. Where we can conclude on the matter, even the members of the portfolio committee just go and sleep over it, see what is it that we can come up with next week so that we conclude it. But then on the submissions that the department has made, particularly around each and every school that is in the petition, it would be advisable for the department to finish us with that information, because we are going to use it when we are finalizing our case. Then on top of that, the department can give us the laws, and of which is the thing that we can get on ourselves, but you can just help us to give the committee those laws by next week. And we request our secretary maybe to make sure that before Tuesday next week, all that information is given to each and every member, so that by next week, Tuesday, we are in the position to conclude and close the whole chapter. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Gina. I think we're going to close this section now. Of course, we spent quite some time on it. And I think, you know, you must realize sometimes people want things done immediately. and this took a whole year to get through the process. And what I would like to do, I would like to thank the department for being present, and we are going on with our own work. The department may leave, and I think we're going to take a break for about 10 minutes, by, you know, just few people to have tea, the honorable members, and we'll come back. And if there's anything else someone would like to say, you can say it at the beginning of the meeting. Thank you.